This is the Vet Alumni Podcast with Tech and Prem.
It's the Vet Alumni Podcast. I'm Tech, he's Prem, and Eagles training camp, what we've all been waiting for, it has begun, finally.
Football is around the corner. Oh, in less than 6 weeks, the Philadelphia Eagles will be raising their second Super Bowl banner.
I am so excited about the Eagles being back. I need it.
Me too. Well, we do. Because baseball kind of, it's fun. It's a long season. It gets a little stagnant. But with the birds, what I've been hearing from these first couple days that I really like is that all these guys are resigned to the fact that last year's last year. This is a different
love
team.
Love that. Love it. Yeah.
They're not worried about if they're champions or not champions. They're just trying to be the best version of the 2025 Philadelphia Eagles.
It's the truth. I love Jalen Hurts coming out. I'm not wearing a ring.
It's phenomenal.
You know, that's
well,
at home.
he was with Jordan for a couple weeks in Greece, and I'm sure they had conversations where Jalen probably straight up asked him, "Yo, like, how did you repeat? What can I do?
Right.
To pull this off?" And Jordan probably said something to the effect of, "Act like you ain't won anything."
Yeah, it's true. And then they had the guy he trains with. And he was asked, you know, what with Jalen, I mean, what now that he's, I think it was with Rich Eisen. So now that he's won the Super
Rich
Bowl.
Rich Eisen's great, by the way.
Yeah, he is.
He's as logical as they come.
I enjoy Rich Eisen. And he's one guy out of all these national
guys that actually
understands how great the Eagles are and how great Jalen Hurts is, the greatness of them.
It's refreshing.
It is.
And we grew up with Rich.
Yeah, yeah. Listen, I like Rich Eisen. A lot of people are down on him. I like Rich Eisen. And he had the trainer on, the guy that trains with Jalen. He trained with Tom Brady.
Oh, okay.
And trained with, but, you know, this guy has been
He's
around.
He's a champion's trainer.
Yeah. So, so now that Jalen's gotten over the hump and he's won in the biggest level, you know, what does he bring now? I mean, and he was like, well, look, you know, when a guy wins it all and he's most concerned with in training about the littlest details, he said that's the kind of stuff that Kobe and Jordan and those guys did.
Nothing slides.
No.
Nothing can slide. And I saw an image of Jalen after practice just walking the field barefoot alone.
Yeah.
I love that, man.
Because he's
I love that. He lives and breathes.
He's not distracted
off the field. He's not out partying. He's not at the strip clubs. He's not drinking. He's not doing anything stupid.
Yeah.
He's just truly a champion in every sense of the word. And we saw this early on.
We talked
about this before anybody was talking about it.
Yes.
The vibe. We should go back and get some clips from like 2021.
Absolutely.
We saw this in this kid. There was something you couldn't
with
explain.
With Barchard, because Barchard saw it too.
Yeah,
we used to talk about it with Barchard about how this kid is going to be
He's the franchise quarterback. He's different. There's just something in the air when he speaks. There's something in the atmosphere around him.
Yeah, it was the intangibles. We would always cite the intangibles that we saw right away. He's got this like hunger, the way he talks.
Isn't it crazy? Some guys just, they don't have the ability to see that stuff.
Look, and some people still don't.
That's more what I call that, bro, and I put this on our X account. I call that the pride of the take. So when you have a take...
Orlovsky just recently flipped.
Yeah, well, Orlovsky saw the light because he's no dummy. He was a quarterback. He's no dummy.
Exactly.
The pride of the take is like if you have a take and it just turns out to be ice cold, instead of saying, look, I was wrong, this guy's the real deal.
Yeah, you stick with
it. You try to, like, make your take work with revisionist history.
Yes.
The pride of the take. It runs rampant, especially with these national guys.
Like, even, like, Cam Newton right now.
Oh, it's disgusting. You see Gilly go off on Cam?
And Gilly's got Gilly's 100% right on this. He's right about it.
Yo.
I was getting
fired up watching Gilly go off on that.
When Cam said something, I don't know when this was, I don't know if it was the other day, when he came back at everybody saying, well, you know, everyone's talking about what Jalen has that I don't have. Well, we could talk about what I have that Jalen doesn't have. It's like, well, what do you have that Jalen doesn't have?
Right. You guys run the same.
That Jalen hasn't done.
You don't have a Super Bowl. You're both Pro Bowlers. You both our athletic style quarterback.
He was the MVP, but hey, Jalen was Super Bowl MVP on the biggest stage.
I'll take that any day of the week.
Me too.
Any day of the week. Because look, Lamar Jackson, what's he got? Three MVPs? What does that amount to?
I saw somebody, I don't know his name, on Twitter, X, whatever, say Lamar Jackson is tiers above Jalen Hurts.
What a joke.
Maybe Lamar Jackson is above Jalen Hurts in the quarterback power rankings.
Not by much, though.
But not tiers,
no,
bro.
No.
That's just,
They're both top five guys, you know, and some people have Jalen as top 10. Ho-hum. I don't really care.
I have him five. The most.
I think he's the fifth best quarterback
me
in football.
Me too. And
when you look at everything, including intangibles.
If somebody wanted to make a diehard argument and go tit for tat with me and say Jalen's number six, fine.
Take it.
I'll bow out.
Whatever.
But I'm not going any lower than six for Jalen Hurts.
And when you win a Super Bowl and you're the Super Bowl MVP and now you've been to two Super Bowls, you've only started for 4 years, you've been to the playoffs every year you've started.
Every year.
At what point do people got to realize that we don't care where he's ranked?
No.
I don't care. If people...
he shouldn't care. I don't think he does care.
No, he doesn't care because this is all subjective.
This keeps the chip on his
shoulder.
He's
just worried about...
Chip.
Yeah, and ironically, he's worried about getting more chips.
Yes, and this is the thing that I feel about Jalen Hurts, okay? I said right away, and a lot of people that I talk to thought it was a surprise hearing me say it, but I'll say it again.
What, is it positive?
That I think Jalen Hurts is going to have the best year of his career this year.
I think so too, bro.
And there's a couple reasons why. One, it's because he's got that chip on his shoulder.
Right.
He's being disrespected, and I love that.
It's absurd. But, I know. I love it too.
Also, I don't believe Saquon Barkley is going to be able to sustain what he did last year, meaning I don't think he's going to get the same number
of
touches.
It's not realistic.
And I don't think he's going to go near 2,000 yards. He might, and that would be unbelievable. I don't see it. And I think this year is the year that Jalen has to be a better quarterback, a step better. I'm not saying a whole level better. He's got to be a step better this year.
Wright said the same thing, and it's one of the first times I ever agreed with Nick Wright to an extent. He said, you know, kind of like what you just said, Saquon's not going to have a 2,000-yard season again.
No.
Hey, if he does, he does. We're wrong. But
I would love nothing more than for him to have a 2,000-yard season. I don't think it makes sense.
He'd be the first running back ever to do it.
Yeah.
But what I think what Nick was saying...
I think he wants to do it.
Well, of course. But I think you're right, though. You don't want to run the guy into the ground, number one.
Right.
And Jalen, I think, is going to throw the ball a bit more to shut up. And I think he's capable of making all the throws.
I think he has to. I think that's the evolution. The evolution of this offense is Jalen Hurts getting a step better in the passing game. Because, like, it's not just last year. Since Jalen Hurts has been in the NFL, he doesn't utilize the third receiver. His third receiver is the tight end.
Yeah.
Which is fine when you have
Dallas or Grant.
The fourth option would be that third receiver would be the fourth option for Jalen.
Right.
He doesn't utilize the fourth option. I think he needs to start not only seeing his first three options when they're actually open, which he didn't do a lot last year, and I was super critical on him.
Well, he did hit Dotson early in the Super Bowl,
Look, no.
I mean, there's a taste of
that. Playoff Jalen, different.
Well, yeah.
I'm specifically talking
about...
Isn't
that what you want to?
You're right.
I'm specifically talking
about in the regular season, there was a stretch of weeks. The Eagles were winning every week.
Yeah.
And there was still a lot of criticism on Jalen, even coming from me, that he wasn't seeing an open A.J. Brown right there in the flat. He wasn't seeing Devontae Smith have that step down the field. He never saw, you know, Dotson.
I think his vision is going to be markedly better.
It has to be a step better.
It's going to be more like 2022 Jalen, who really was what? He was the MVP runner-up that year?
Yes. If he is just a step better, then it's going to be a world of difference on the passing game.
They got Cooper DeJean testing out at safety, and I love what Vic Fangio said.
Like
what he said about, we're just going to see who's good where, basically.
He wants to try out
and if
where
this guy,
everybody's
you know,
at.
If this guy's okay here, then we'll have Coop here. It's clear they want him on the field every down, and you should.
Yeah.
He's going to be a part of their base package, but they're only in base 20% of the time anyway.
I have three intriguing things just from the beginning of training camp. It just started. So, you look.
Yeah, they're just in helmets. They're not even in pads.
Right,
you know?
Right. There's only so much you can go. But there were three things that stood out to me after the first 24 hours are in the books. And one of them was, yes, Cooper DeJean is in at safety on the base defense. It's not just lip service.
He's athletic,
is
man.
On the field at safety.
It's going to depend on, I think, how good Andrew Mukuba actually is.
You're right. I think
that's really the key
here. I think that the safety position for the Eagles in 2025 is dependent on Mukuba being good.
It has to be. And you know what? I don't know. The jury's out. I mean, hey, there have been guys that have come up that we thought were going to be great that were horrible, like Kayvon Wallace.
You're right. So, who just signed with the Giants.
Good. He's going to be a practice, practice squatter.
Jackson Dart's first touchdown in training camp was a pick six, by the way. Did you see that? That was tremendous.
You know, I haven't... I'll be honest. I haven't really gotten on to like following all the camps yet.
And I think the Giants will actually be better, but
they'll be better.
Knows?
But they're a 7-10 ceiling.
You're right. Yeah,
7-10 ceiling.
I got them around then. Yeah. Seven
what
wins.
I'm excited about is the sophomore step back for Jaden Daniels that no one's going to see coming.
Maybe
no one's going to see it
the
coming.
The thing that's crazy.
It
is
happens
they,
a
they
lot.
Got him,
Tech,
they got him ranked against over Jalen.
It's preposterous.
Every ranking.
It's really preposterous.
It is.
It's kind of funny, actually.
I mean,
it's like a love affair.
One year in the league.
I know. That's why I think you're going to see the sophomore slump. It happens to a lot of quarterbacks, even guys that have bounced back.
CJ Stroud.
CJ Stroud's a great example. Everyone thought coming into last season, this kid was going to be, you know,
Super Bowl contender. Texans were contenders.
I thought they were too, and really, they kind of got jobbed against KC in that playoff.
Oh, they, of course, KC. What are we talking about here?
You say more. We got jobbed in the Super Bowl in 57.
Yeah.
So, you know, but yeah, I think Jaden Daniels, he's not going to have his main target out there probably. McLaurin's not reporting right now.
Yeah. Well, we'll see.
We'll see what they do. I think they'll
sign him long-term.
The whole Washington hype, I mean, they're a good team.
Yeah.
They're going to be competitive. They always give us fits. Even if Sam Howell's the quarterback,
they give us fits. They're like this old team.
Yeah.
If we're the youngest team, they're the oldest.
They signed Von Miller, right?
Yes.
Who's
100 years old. Yeah, is he? Yeah.
I don't know. I'm going to be 42 soon.
We'll see. There you go. But yeah, but 42 in football years.
Oh, it's ancient.
Oh, my God.
It's
a guy might as well be, you know,
like
35, a senior citizen. Kind of
like 35 in baseball years if you're not a pitcher.
Right.
You know.
Exactly.
Basically.
So...
Football, baby.
The exciting whites could be the starting safety duo. We'll see.
Yo, Reed, what a story Reed Blankenship is.
Here's another thing about Reed Blankenship that I'm not going to say worries me or concerns me. It's just something to keep in the front of your mind a little bit. Is that Reed Blankenship has to be an Iron Man. He has to not get hurt.
Yeah.
If he gets
he's
hurt,
he's become super integral.
If he gets
he's
hurt,
integral. There's nobody behind
that
him, really.
Position
yeah.
is in shambles.
Well, that's where you're that at that point. That's where the fact that they do get pretty good pressure will come into play. But the biggest question that no one is talking about that I've heard yet is your interior defensive line. You know what Jalen Carter is, but what about the depth next to him? The depth next to him, not the starter next to him. The depth next to him because they rotate those guys. What are you going to get out of the depth on the D-line? That's really a question for me that is important.
Yeah, because, I mean, who you got there?
That's where it starts.
Yeah. You got a Jomo.
You got a Jomo who showed flashes of good play in you know, very minimal snap count last year.
You got
year.
Booker, who I like.
Also, very we'll minimal
very,
snap
very
count.
Very minimal.
These are largely...
Jomo had a pretty good amount of
he
snaps.
He actually had one of the highest pressure rates...
I think he had the highest.
Per snap,
I think he had the highest.
But it's
a low pressure rate.
It's a low percentage. It's almost like, oh, a guy's sitting 500, but he's 5 for 10. Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Let's see him go 50 for 100.
You know, Jomo did more than 5 for 10, though.
He had a lot of snaps.
He looked good.
I'm positive. I have a positive
Booker
outlook.
Booker was really limited.
Yeah, Booker was really limited. But I'm just curious.
Robinson.
Ty Robinson, I'm excited to see.
Yeah.
You're going to see a lot of these guys in a
good
preseason.
Things. The guy next, the starter next to Jalen Carter was my second intriguing thing after the first 24 hours. Jordan Davis looks unbelievable.
Oh, how did I forget about Jordan?
The
of course.
Best shape of his life.
Well,
he's down to 330. He looks like he's in the best shape of his life.
If Jordan Davis can just pick up like a millisecond of speed.
Well, if he's going to, it's got to be this year.
Look, I feel like he can dominate if he wants to.
He looks like he's ready for it.
Yeah, how did I forget about Jordan Davis, of course? I guess it's more about the depth, though, like I was saying.
The depth
because
behind
Jordan Davis
him.
Is only going to play 60% of the snaps.
Yeah, he's the starter next to him. And he's,
right.
You know what? He's probably splitting
but
with the Jomo and Ty
Robinson.
It's
about the depth, though. I'm just, and then if somebody, God forbid, if someone goes down, you really are kind of thin at proven D tackles. And that's what happens when you lose a guy like Milton Williams, even though he got overpaid.
You're thin at that
and
spot.
Safety. You're thin up the
safety.
Middle. You're thin up the middle.
You're thin corner, too, because look, you know, people, I keep on hearing, you know, Ringo, look good, Ringo. Ringo, all right, look, he got
toasted on day one, right?
Toasted, you just said it. A.J. Brown,
it's AJ
right?
A.J. Brown, though.
But then he got toasted against Terrence Marshall.
Yeah, I did hear that.
I mean, cooked.
It's not a good look.
No, Ringo is not a starting corner. I've never had any confidence in him as a starter. I still believe Adoree Jackson is the starter there. I don't love necessarily, I can't even say that yet because I really haven't seen it for myself, but just ideally, I don't love the opposite of Quinyon Mitchell's side of the field.
Well, they've been trying out Coop at outside corner as well.
When it's not base defense, right, which is probably most of the time.
Right. I mean, you're only going to be in your base 20-25%
exactly.
of the time, but I'm curious, out of this camp, if we're going to see one of these young corners step up that they drafted. This MacMillan kid, what's his name?
Yeah, Mac McWilliams?
McWilliams. MacMillan.
I'm curious to see what he looks like.
Someone can step up. I mean, look, a couple years ago, you got very good production from Cravon LeBlanc. You know what I mean? So who's the next Cravon LeBlanc but at corner?
The reason why I can't even say anything about Mac McWilliams, there were other guys on the board I knew who they were, and they chose Mac McWilliams.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Matt, there must be something good about him.
I'm just curious if someone's going to step up. Or who knows? You know how Howie is, though.
That's why training camp, this preseason is so important, like last year.
It really is.
You get to see the Mac McWilliams, the Ty Robinsons, you know, Ringo, I don't need to see Ringo against third, fourth, and fifth starters, fifth stringers.
No.
I need to see him against the premier wide receiver on the other side.
They have to evaluate him that way. Otherwise, they're doing him a disservice.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they're not really going to know what they have because, you know, when you're going against the Jaden Daniels of the league and the Joe Burrows of the league and Lamar Jacksons, these guys that they're very crafty, they can really victimize a corner
like
that.
Look at the Cowboys. You got week one. I know everybody's like, Dak, and who cares? But hey, the Cowboys have two
tough games.
They got two proven star receivers
Quinyon's
on that team.
Quinyon's going to follow Lamb, though. Quinyon will follow Lamb. He didn't do that last year, though. They had him on one side, but this year, he's going to follow the best receiver. And that's what you should do. That's what Ty Law used to do.
Yes.
That's what these great corners would always do.
But Pickens could be there to victimize Killy Ringo.
That's a key matchup in week one. And, you know, I look at that game, and we're kind of way ahead here evaluating week one. But
I don't love it. I don't love that game week
one. I don't love it either, but I'll tell you why I'm not really that concerned about them dropping it. It's really just because of Jalen in the fourth quarter, man.
I feel like
in the fourth quarter.
And the defense. I mean, I expect the defense
to do. It's going to be tight, though. I think it's a tight game late. I think it plays kind of like a playoff game would play. It's going to be kind of like that first week one game against the Packers last season in Brazil.
I think
it's going to be similar
close.
To that.
Yeah.
You're going to have both teams putting up close to 30, I think, in this one. The Birds are just going to. That Cowboys defense is Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
You know, they really aren't a good defense. They were one of the worst in football historically last year. They really weren't good. So we'll see. But I think the Birds probably
improved a little bit.
A little bit, but I think the Birds win the game. I just think it's going to be a little tighter, but Jalen's the difference in the fourth quarter. I'm going to say that most weeks. I mean, we have a tough schedule.
You're right.
I think this is like a 12-win season, I think. We kind of said that, I think, when we went through the calendar.
I got him right now on the high side at 12 this time.
It's exciting, man. Football's back.
Is.
We just won a Super Bowl, and we're back.
We're back.
5 months ago.
And I agree with Jordan Mailata, because they had Jordan Mailata. We ain't defending nothing.
No, he said that.
Yeah, we're
and
not
so
nothing.
Did, so did, I think it was Landon Dickerson.
Yeah.
I think
and Lane
said
Johnson
the same
said it
kind
too.
Of thing.
Yep.
Like,
they
look,
all are saying
the 2024
it.
2024 Eagles
Saquon
were great. Yeah.
They're all following
this is
the
new.
Same
Turn the page.
M.O.
This is a new team. This is a different season. I just love it because I think, and I heard, I forget, I think it was Bill Calarulo, Calarulo was saying this week, you know, that after the 2017 ring, they made a mistake with, like, putting up banners too many places, and by the middle of the season, they were taking stuff down in the facility to not be reminded they were champions. They're not making that mistake. There's one banner, and that's it.
That's it.
That's all you need.
That's all you need. You're the champs. You don't need to sit there and relive it. Don't live in the past. You got to move forward. And look, I believe this team is capable of repeating. I think they do have the best roster. I thought that last year, the Eagles got very fortunate with injuries being on their side.
Yeah, they did.
The entire year.
It's hard to do that. I mean, Saquon played the whole season.
Saquon has never played a whole season. I mean, when was Saquon played a whole season? I know it's different. He's got the best O-line. He's not at that horrible, field in MetLife.
I think they're going to spell him a bit more this year. I think you're going to see more like random drives where Saquon is just sitting a drive.
But just like you said, when it gets late in the game, Jalen is an X factor. I also think Saquon.
He is, man. They're closers. They are closers.
The reason why the Eagles have a chance to win on every game of their schedule.
Because they got closers everywhere,
bro. You got Saquon on that team. You got Jalen Hurts as your quarterback.
Even if you're down by 10 in the fourth, you can still win that game.
Yeah.
That's how good they are.
You got a top two or three or maybe number one O-line. You got a top 7-10 defense.
You have a two-time defending Super Bowl champion kicker.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way,
champion kicker.
When they showed, when Elliot showed the new ring, by the way, is unbelievable.
It's monstrous.
It's unbelievable.
It's like double the size.
It was like 143 diamonds, one for every point in the postseason or something crazy.
I saw the breakdown of all the meanings and everything.
And then the wings pop up. Yeah. Oh my God.
A guy in Beverly Hills did it, actually.
And Jake Elliott showed the ring from 17, and it looks like this tiny little thing.
It's dwarfed.
Like this tiny ring.
Those guys need a third one,
It looked
bro.
Like a varsity ring next to this unbelievable thing.
You got Lane and Jake, and I think now they would be the only two guys remaining that have two rings.
Yeah, yeah.
Lane and Jake.
That's it.
That's it, because BG rode off into the sunset.
And hopefully,
and well-deserved.
Yeah, hopefully he'll get a role with the team.
You want to hear something crazy?
What's that?
So I'm on Instagram, and I see a picture that has Sack 55 BG in it.
Yeah.
But I was on the Vet Alumni Instagram, so I liked it.
Yeah.
And then I went to my Instagram, and BG's profile's missing. So I'm like, why can't I find BG from my profile?
Right.
I go to my other, I have like a bunch of different, lines of business profiles.
I think
you
told me this, that he blocked you? Is that what you said?
BG blocked me at some point. And I have no idea why.
This is great.
Why would Brandon Graham block me? You know what it might be? I'm a very outspoken guy about my views. I don't really care. I just say what I want. I don't care if people like it. Whatever. I think everybody should be like that, whether it's left or right, whatever. Anyway, so maybe he saw one of my comments on like an Action News thing or somewhere I said something years ago. It was probably years ago.
It would have to be.
But BG blocked the kid.
Really?
Crazy.
Maybe that was accidental. You think he really...
I heard that he was on a blocking spree a couple years ago.
Oh, really?
I forget where I heard that.
But in recent history, he's a Super Bowl hero.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah, I mean, he's a hero.
I'm blocked by BG. That's the story.
Well, you couldn't have had anything bad to say about him.
I never said anything bad about Brandon Graham. It was never... There's nothing I said about him that would have caused that.
I don't think I've said anything bad about Brandon Graham in now. It would be officially a decade. I think in like 2015, maybe 2016, I said Brandon Graham's a bust. He never turned out to be what he was supposed
to be. Well, you know what? And at that point, that wasn't a crazy take.
Right.
Because he kind of had a slow start to his Birds career.
But you can't argue that he had a good year, the Super Bowl year, and then he was the Super Bowl hero.
I mean, really, his hand is... saved a lot of tears
when he caused that strip sack. I mean, I ran around, and then it was Derek. What's his name? Who
Barnett?
Derek Barnett.
He's on the Texans now, right?
Yeah, and he recovered that fumble. And I just remember running around the room yelling, "We just won the Super Bowl!"
And they still almost.
And it wasn't over.
There was still a Hail Mary after that.
But in my mind, it was like. the fact that it was even, we were there.
Yeah.
At that moment where we get the ball back and we're like up.
Yeah.
It was like, we just won the Super Bowl.
Isn't that crazy that that was the most combined offensive yards in the history of the league?
It
that
is.
Game?
It was a crazy, that was one of the craziest games I've ever seen.
1920, they started playing NFL football. And so at that point, it was 97 seasons of NFL football.
And there were so many, I want to say, just incredible isn't enough of a word.
Well, the Corey Clement touchdown in the back of the end zone.
Otherworldly. Do you know, I mean, that up to my father all the time, where I say,
that catch.
That Corey Clement touchdown is one of the most incredible touchdowns I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah, it's perfect. Everything was perfect.
He's not the kind of guy that you expect to make that catch.
That was
at
like
that moment.
It was like Ricky Waters downfield.
It was the most unbelievable catch I've seen it in a moment like that. And he, of all people,
in the
he
back
makes that
of the
catch.
End zone, and he had not much of an NFL career.
The Zach
after
Ertz touchdown, which would always, that wouldn't have been a touchdown. Like, and it was a touchdown.
What do you mean?
Like, it looked like, okay, like Chris Collinsworth initial call, and everyone hated Collinsworth for it, but I kind of agreed in that
well,
moment.
Well, no, because there was, he was caught three it, steps and, like, and the, it's dead once it hits the
I know,
ball
but like.
It's a dead ball.
I've
and,
seen.
And you know what the problem
I've
was?
I've seen the Eagles not get that kind of call.
I hear you. To me, it wasn't even close. I mean.
I hear you.
Because it wasn't like he was being tackled. He leapt with the ball. And at that point, as soon as the ball crosses the goal line, it's dead.
Dead. Yeah, dead. I know. It's just, it was surreal.
And it was his third step. He took the jump with his third step.
Look.
Catch, football move, jump.
You know, we're 8 years removed from this.
Isn't that wild?
And it's still wild, man. Crazy to me, a couple of these plays that happened in that game.
The fourth down on that drive, where Foles is like being rushed.
Yes.
And he had to complete a fourth and two to Ertz. That play right there, that's the biggest play of the game. Because
Zach Ertz
at that
was
point,
so clutch.
At that point, you're down 33-28.
Yeah, and
at
I know
that point.
They have the best quarterback, Eagles quarterback ever debate. And a lot of like morons call up the radio and they're like, Nick Foles! And I'm like, dude, Nick Foles had... To his credit.
He's top five in the franchise.
He had the greatest individual performance I've ever seen from an Eagles quarterback.
Right, right.
But
and you put that together with that NFC Championship game, and that rivals Jalen's too.
Yes.
When you put them together.
Jalen is just so consistently
just different,
great.
Man. I know.
When the lights are bright and the stage is huge and the moment is bigger than him. He is just a different breed.
So speaking of him being a different breed, right, specifically to that, there was something posted by PFF today, just with some numbers from Jalen. I'm sorry, Dan Orlovsky. So in his two Super Bowl runs, seven games in the Super Bowl runs, 18 touchdowns, 18 touchdowns, two interceptions, only one turnover was the weird fumble in the Super Bowl. 91 first downs, a 71.8 QBR. We went 6-1 and hung 36 points a game. He's one of only 18 QBs in history of the league that have attempted 50 passes in the Super
Bowl. I saw that, yeah.
He's the only one out of those other 17 to complete more than 70% of his passes. So for quarterbacks.
It's only Mahomes, right? Mahomes is number one and Jalen's number two.
Well,
right?
As far as Mahomes, he's the only one that has a better than 70% completion percentage with more than 50 attempts in the Super Bowl. He's 44 of 60 in the Super Bowl. So of all the quarterbacks that have thrown at least 50 passes in the Super Bowl, so guys that have played at least two Super Bowls,
yeah,
he has the best completion percentage of all of them. Now, that includes Joe Montana.
Yeah. Who had nothing but Hall of Famers on his team.
Yeah, Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
You know, who had one horrible Super Bowl.
Right.
It's just pretty wild to me. He was working with Paul Hembo on that, Dan Orlovsky. Hembo always puts out some great numbers.
Yeah, Hembo's the stat
man
there.
So, you know, football's back. I'm excited.
And to wrap up the things that intrigue me is my third one. It's actually a 3-1 and a 3-2. I have like an A and a B on my intriguing things. And number three is Jalix Hunt. I mean,
I think
this guy could be a
jackpot,
star.
Jackpot.
Unbelievable.
Jackpot.
Unbelievable.
Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt are your ends.
Unbelievable. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, and you still got your Hyde Campbell looking like a
he's my 3B. If Hunt is my 3A, Campbell's my 3B because I didn't expect him to be ready for camp. He came out, he was practicing.
Yeah.
They said limited, and a bunch of writers said he looks unlimited to me. So he looked like a stud out there.
I mean, put him next to Zach.
He's ready to start.
There's a lot of athleticism.
Zach Borson, I'm teaching him everything I know. I'm not trying to be the veteran trying to hold back. I'm teaching him everything
I
know.
They want to win rings, man. They don't want to have one ring party. They want to have three ring
and
parties.
And Dean, obviously, is on the pup list. Probably won't be ready to
start
the year.
You know what, though? N'Kobe, he had some killer plays. I mean, he won the Jacksonville game.
When N'Kobe is healthy, he's a tremendous player.
He won the Jacksonville game.
Yeah.
With that interception.
Right. When he's healthy, he's a tremendous player. It's just... keeping him on the field is...
I know. Luckily, they have some depth there with Jihad coming. I think he's going to be a player. I mean, they continue to knock it out the park with these draft picks. We'll see, though. So the jury's still out on some of them.
St. Trotter came back looking really good, too. He's in good shape. And
good,
he's been,
good.
You know,
yeah, the defense
out.
Is young. They're young. They're hungry. And they got the right leader.
They do.
That's really the key.
It is.
He's going to put them in the right spot. He's going to use these guys properly, and he's not going to put anybody in a spot that they haven't earned. That's the most important thing.
It is the most important.
You're not
going to
be out there if you haven't earned that spot, and that's why I love the fact that Vic Fangio is the general of the defense.
I agree.
Yeah, man.
I can't wait to see what happens, but listen, we got to turn our attention to the Phils, but before we do that...
We do.
Brought to you by the Fairless Hills Academy of Music, it's time for Vet Fact.
This is a Vet Fact.
Well, Tech, July 25th, 1995, the Phils would host the Rockies, who were a good team that year. They came
in
46-35. They came in. The Phils were 43-38. It was a 7:35 first pitch. And it was a 6-6 game after four innings. There was a lot of action. The Rockies jump out to the 3-0 lead. Then the Phils drop four in the third, take a 4-3 lead. Then the Rockies drop three in the next half inning, take a 6-4 lead. Bottom of the fourth, Phils tie it up at sixth. But the Phils would walk it off in the bottom of the 10th. Who do you think had the walk-off, Tech? Our guy... Charlie Hayes.
Charlie Hayes.
The father of Cabrian Hayes.
Yeah.
Which
looks
now we know.
Looks just like him.
He does. And I saw that. I was like, wait a minute. Something's uncanny here.
Yeah.
So the Phils would get hits from every single player in the starting lineup except for pitcher Jim Deshays. We'll get to Jim in a minute.
Jesus.
Yeah, not good.
No.
But Stocker had a hit. Hayes had a hit. Morandini had a hit. Dutch drove in two. Greg Jeffries drove in two.
Greg Jeffries.
Andy Van Slyke with a multi-hit day. Nails with a multi-hit day. Darren Dalton, his second triple of the season.
There you go.
On this day, you got RBIs again from Jeffries. Mm. Dalton, Van Slyke, Morandini, and Hayes with the most important. Hayes, his RBI, that was his 54th on the season at that point.
Wow.
He was touching, like, you know, Bryce Harper zone
at
that point. The Phils were 8-11 with runners in scoring position. They gave the
crowd...
Boy,
that's refreshing.
It is refreshing. They gave the crowd something to cheer about. Check this out. On this Rockies team, he had some great names. Dante Bichette, Andre Scalarraga,
yep.
Vinny Castilla.
Yes.
Joe Girardi.
Right.
On this team.
Yes.
This is a Rockies team that had World Series expectations. And you know what? With a little bit more pitching, I think they could have won a World Series.
Yep.
But on this particular day, starting pitcher Bill Swift for the Rockies got lit up. 11 hits through four innings.
Wow.
Six runs allowed, all earned, only two strikeouts. The Rockies would have to use five pitchers, but it wouldn't matter because Mike Munoz would blow the game in the ninth. The Phillies had to use four pitchers, including Ricky Bowe, who threw two scoreless innings with three Ks, and Heathcliff Slocum gets the W.
Sometimes I forget he was a Philly.
They do. Toby Borland pitching this game. But starter Jim Deshays also had a really forgettable day. Also just four innings, 10 hits, six runs. It's funny. Each starter had like almost identical lines.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't matter because the Phils would get the walk-off win in the bottom of the 10th with two outs, Tech. And they defeated the then first place Rockies 7-6.
Wow. The Phils... My position has not changed.
What are the moves going to be is the big question still. It's the same question.
I just can't believe some of the things I'm reading. And I can't believe some of the things I'm hearing from the fans.
I know.
What the fans are actually
it's
willing
bad.
To do.
It's bad.
The fans are willing to say, screw the future. We want October. It's the dumbest thing I've
ever
heard in
my life.
Well, you
have to win a World Series now.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, if you're not trying to win a World Series now, what are we doing?
I don't think you can make a move that guarantees you a World Series.
Almost, man.
What? What move could you make that guarantees
you a World
Series?
Well, first off, if you're able to bring in a guy like a Bednar or what's the guy from...
Sure, Bednar.
What's the guy from the Cleveland?
Class A.
All right, so say you get one of those two, then you got a closer. Then
how you getting them?
Don't forget. Well, that's debatable. But don't forget, in the playoffs, you really can do something like this. You're going to go Wheeler, Sanchez, Suarez. In a 7-game series, you really only need those three starters in a 7-game series, okay?
Sure.
Then you're going to have Nola back with a fresh arm. He's your first guy out the bullpen. And Lizardo is not going to be a starter.
I got to tell you.
He's another guy out the bullpen.
I would make Nola my fourth starter. In a short series, you're right. Three pitcher short series, first series.
It depends.
But if you make it to a second series,
okay.
I think I'm not a Nola guy. We know this.
But he's good in the postseason.
I would rather have Nola than Lizardo. I'm out on Lizardo.
Well, Lizardo and Nola, I think they should both, especially because Nola's been sitting and he hasn't built up the arm strength, I think that they should both come out of the pen in the postseason. So if you're doing that.
Well, who's your fourth start? All right. The first series, all that's going to matter is three starters because it'll be a short series.
I think you can just roll with three starters.
For the first series, it's a shorter series.
Even the NLCS and the World Series. I think you're going to have the days off mixed in because of the TV schedule. Zach will go on 4 days in the postseason. He's trying to win a World Series. I think that you can do that. So if
Rob Thompson's not going to do that.
Well, Dombrowski said specifically, he spoke those words. He said, look, you only need three pitchers, three starters in the postseason. He said those words.
I don't believe in Rob Thompson. I think Rob Thompson is an idiot. I think he's a smart baseball guy, sure. But I think his decision-making...
Sometimes he's kind of what I would call laissez-faire, which is a French term
for Little League Rob. He cares more about having the trust of his guys and looking out for his guys than winning. He cares more about that.
But he knows what he has. He knows that he has a club that come October, I mean, as long as these guys are scoring 4 or 5 runs a game, then they're going to be in every single October game because of the pitching. You know, I still don't necessarily trust Kirkering in a high leverage spot late, but they're going to use when they have to. Strom is still going to be solid. Strom could end up being your 8th inning guy. Say you bring a closer in, he's your 9th inning guy. Then you got a combination of Nola, Lizardo, and Kirkering for 6 and 7 if you should have to do so early. And you got 3 stud starters. And if you can go get one closer at the trade deadline like we're talking about, then that whole schematic works. Then if you add one bat, a legitimate bat, and there's a lot of teams that would be willing to move guys, I'm sure.
Look.
You really only need to get a guy that gets on base at the top of your lineup.
Dombrowski said something that I actually agree with. Dombrowski said, you can't go trading people to add to this lineup. You have to add from within. That is smart.
Well, bring Crawford up then. You want to bring Crawford up?
You have to DFA Kepler now. It has to be done.
And just bring up Justin.
Bring up, because first of all, a team with World Series aspirations doesn't have Wes Wilson on the team.
No.
So this organization is a stupid organization. The front office is just,
I can't get over how moronic. Well, look, the jury is still out on if they're moronic because we have to see in a week, and it's about a week to go, what they do.
I really need them to reserve judgment until then. I need them to DFA or just outright waive Max Kepler.
Well, they're going to try to put him in a package because someone...
Who wants him?
Someone will take a chance on a veteran.
I think Marsh has...
A veteran always has a market.
And Marsh reverted back. They could take Marsh, too. But I don't think Marsh and Kepler have any real value.
Well, no,
I think
Marsh is going to stay on a team.
I think he's got more value. Yeah, because...
He does.
Because they'll live and die with Marsh and Stott. They will live and die...
Maybe.
...with those two guys. Those two guys.
Stott's actually heating up a little bit. Stott's heating up a little.
Why? Because he changed his walk-up song finally? He had one game.
I'm not talking
one
about
game,
the
he had a double and a home run one game.
He had a hit the night before, too. I mean, look, this all comes in spurts. You got to look at the spurts for guys, and they just want to hope that enough of them are having a good spurt in October, because that's the difference. That's the difference. Look, the Dodgers can come in October and be cold. The Tigers can come in October and be cold.
The
Padres could be cold. It's about who is not cold
right now
in October.
I don't believe in the Phillies right now, long term. And the way I look at the Phillies is they're a 500 team to me.
You need a splash move. You need a splash move, Tech, to get you excited again.
A splash move for me, to be quite honest,
you need
would be getting
move.
A reliever or two and bring it up Crawford. Okay. That's all I
need.
All right.
You're going to get
that's
that.
That's all I need.
You're going to get that.
It'll adjust my belief.
You're going to get
but
that.
But it won't fully make me buy in because I believe they're a 500 club. They've been a 500 club since June 1st. They all I heard about going into the All-Star break, all I heard, WIP, Devin Caney's of the world, and even Scott Fransky, and I heard Tom McCarthy on the broadcast before the All-Star break say it. I heard this same notion. Oh, they need this week. They need this week off. They need this break. They come out of the break with a six-game homestand against a below-average Angels team, and they go six games. And they go 3-3. That's who they are.
That's an Angels team.
Who got swept by a struggling Mets.
But they're actually in a playoff race still.
They're not making the playoffs.
Well, no, but they're three games back, so you're playing hard.
They are a below average team.
But here's the thing: you can't look at oh, they played this team and this team's not good.
Doesn't matter
because the Pirates just swept the Tigers.
They came out. The Tigers might not be for real.
No, they are. My point is, every team goes through these.
Pitching, I don't think.
Every team goes through these struggles.
Here's the thing.
It's what happened.
Here's the thing with the Phillies. They got this much needed week off. All I heard about this much needed week
and
off.
They took two or they three from out, a playoff team.
And they lost two or three to a non-playoff team.
That's how it goes.
They went three at home after a week off. That's who they are.
Every contender does it.
Doesn't matter.
Show me a contender on the standings that doesn't do that. They all do it.
Since June 1st, they are what they are. They're a 500 club.
Right,
right now, they're a 500 club.
You're upset.
They had a great April and May. April and May makes them not a 500
club.
But I'm saying they are a 500 club.
5 days before a trade deadline. You have to wait to see what happens at a trade deadline.
I'm not expecting much.
It's like goofy to be this upset before a trade deadline.
I'm not expecting much before this. I'm not. And another thing, I don't think this deadline radically changes my thinking.
Well, it depends.
I just don't.
It depends. You have the best pitching in baseball. You have the best rotation in baseball. When you have pitching, that's what wins in October. So you're going to win 3-2 games
score
in October.
Runs. Gotta hit.
Right, but you can. You're going to win. You're going to win. You're going to win 2-1 games in October. 3-2 games in October.
Well, I hope
it's pitching.
So.
It's all pitching.
I hope so.
It's all pitching.
But you know, I look at this team and 3-3 after a week off at home. It's not like they were on the road. 3-3 at home. That's who this team is right now. They are a 500 club at the moment. So I look at them as a team that they'll get to October, but right now they're one and done unless they do something that changes that.
Nah, I don't
that
see
opinion
no,
for me.
Not one and done.
I think
series.
They're one and done.
The pitching's too good for that. And you're going to be playing a team that's not nearly as good as you.
When they do score runs, the pitching implodes. And when the pitching's great, they don't
so
score
you're gonna
runs.
You're going to play like St. Louis. You think that St. Louis is going to really the club as it stands right now is going to sweep a St. Louis.
I don't
in the
think
first
they're
round.
Beating. Look, all right. Let's say they do get out of that first round. Like you say, the pitching, it's a short series. Fine. Let's say they get out of that.
Sure.
I don't got them beating the Brewers, the Cubs, the Dodgers right now. I know.
You mean the same Cubs and Dodgers that they've had their number for the last two seasons?
I just don't think that's going to happen.
These are head-to-head situations. These are not.
You're banking
you can't look at everything in a vacuum like, oh, well, they lost to the Angels, so they're going to not be.
No, I'm
they
not
have,
banking it all on the
have,
Angels.
They
I'm,
have
looking
owned.
At, I'm looking at 3-3 after a week off
sure.
and say at home and saying. That's who they are.
But they have
That's
owned
what this team
the
is.
Dodgers. They have owned the Cubs.
We'll see.
So the
we'll
two
see if that
biggest
continues.
Competition in the National League really struggle to beat the Phillies. Regardless of how you look at trends, regardless of how good they've been playing, how bad they've been playing, the Cubs don't play the Phillies well.
The Yankees
and the Dodgers
been,
don't play the
Phillies
Yankees
well. The Yankees have been terrible, and I think they take 2 or 3 from the Phillies this weekend.
Now you got your best three starters lined up. You're going Sanchez, Wheeler, Suarez.
Phillies don't score when it matters. That's the thing. They just
every week they have at least one big game every week.
One big game.
But that,
they
but,
always do that.
But every
they
team
always do.
Every team that contends is the same. They're
I
all in
you.
The same. That's what I'm trying to make
I,
you understand.
Yeah, I get
every,
it. Just,
you could put on any hat right now. You could
but
put
I
on
only
a Cubs
care
hat.
About what the Phillies
you could
are
put
doing.
On a. You could put on a Brewers. Besides, the Brewers are on this wild streak. They'll
and,
cool
and
down.
By the way,
all the teams do this.
Dombrowski had it. This is another thing I don't understand. The David Robertson signing. Everyone loves it. This guy was available.
Loves it. I don't love it.
I hate it. He was. Why do you think he was still out there? Oh, the Yankee. Everybody wanted him. Nobody went. The Yankees wanted him. He'd be a Yankee. Okay, that's the truth.
Yeah.
The Yankees do not get outbid. They don't. They it's not going to happen.
It wasn't
the
a big
only reason
for
why
David
Soto
Robinson.
Didn't re-sign with them is because they wouldn't give his family a box. You know what I mean? And the Mets said,
right.
"We'll give you a box."
Sure.
So he stayed in New York and took the box with the Mets.
Yeah.
So they don't get outbid typically. Robertson, he's half washed. He's 40 years old. He hasn't played. They had to send him to AAA to rev up. I'm like, yo, listen. They're not, they do not have it right now. And everything I'm seeing online in order to get the guys that we're talking, the Class A's, like, they're going to have to give up guys that they cannot afford to give up. Stott, I can't see Stott being a long-term guy. Yeah, he might have a couple good games here and there. He's hitting. He's not, he is what he is.
So when you say not afford to give up, afford for what? What do you mean?
Miller. You can't get rid of Miller.
But what are
Miller's taking over for
Stott.
What
are you not going to be able to afford then?
Crawford or Painter.
Well,
Crawford,
I'm saying,
Painter,
here's
and Miller.
My point.
I'm willing to give up everybody else. Cabrera, Rincones, Tate.
You're talking about prospects, right?
Yeah.
What's the root of the word prospect?
Doesn't matter.
I'm asking you. Listen.
Listen.
Perspective, right? So when someone puts out a perspective of something, it's something that hasn't happened yet.
Doesn't matter. I'm not giving up
the
top
Doug
three
Drabeck
prospects in the system.
Or not Drabeck. It was Drabeck's kid.
Who cares about
it's
Kyle
just,
Drabeck?
It's a case study.
That's great. I get
it's
it.
A case
but
study.
In this case, I'm going against that and saying, I already know that I don't think Stott is the long-term answer. And this time next year, in August of next year, that'll be Miller time at second base. And I think Crawford should come up immediately, and that'll be Crawford time. I think Painter should come up towards the end of the season so that next year, Painter will crack the rotation.
Well,
these are three
Painter,
guys that are our future,
you know, I hear you. I
on
hear
this
you.
Team. They
but
have
look,
a place.
Here's what I got to say to that, man, is right now, this is your window this year.
I hear you.
Yeah, Schwarber's
right
probably
now,
not going to be here. So
right now,
if you can
not,
bring in people that are going
to
maybe...
This isn't a World Series team to me right now.
But I'm saying if you are able to bring in a couple guys for future guys that haven't proven anything, except that they might be good, but you can bring in guys that will help you win a ring this year because you have the best starting rotation.
I'm not giving
in
up
baseball.
Those guys for... For
well, it depends
Byron
on what's
Buxton
coming back.
Or what, I'm
well,
not
doing
that.
Buxton. No, forget Buxton.
Whoa. I'm not trading Crawford for Duran, a guy who went like 1-for-11 against us.
Well,
I'm not doing
about,
that.
Duran would have been last year. I mean,
Or Stephen Kwan. Forget it. I'm not giving up nothing for Stephen Kwan.
A guy that will be under team control for many years who needs a little bit of work on his defense, but you can get
who?
Past that. I'm getting there. He's a guy that hits the hardest balls in the world. He hits balls harder than Trout. O'Neill Cruz. Not since Barry Bonds. Listen,
he's a platoon guy.
No, he's not.
Yes, he is. He's batting 219. He's a platoon guy.
That's because of where he is. He's in Pittsburgh. Not since Barry
I'm not
Bonds.
Giving
listen,
a top prospect
not
for
since
Cruz.
Barry Bonds
that's
as a guy.
Goofy to give up anything
guy,
for Cruz.
Can I say this, dude?
Go ahead.
Not since Barry Bonds has a guy had 30 steals and 40 RBIs before the All-Star break as a Pirate. Not since Barry Bonds. The kid has—he just needs a little bit of coaching.
I'm not giving up nothing.
You think he's getting coached right in Pittsburgh?
It doesn't matter. I'm not. It's like a Luis Robert kind of deal for me. I'm not giving up nothing.
It's a synergy thing.
If you want Luis Robert, go get him. But I ain't giving up nothing up for him.
If
you want Cruz, go get him. I ain't giving up nothing for him.
When you put guys in new situations with different players around them and different coaches, and you're winning. That brings out the reason why those guys were even high prospects to begin with. He's in a dead end place.
Okay, I'll take him. I'm not giving up my top three for him.
Sure, I'm not saying you're the one saying that. I'm saying a guy you should target. Now, I don't know what you'd have to give up, but he's under team control. He's very young. He would fit in with a core that needs a young boost in the outfield of a guy. He's a power hitter. The kid hits bombs. He just needs a little bit of coaching.
I read a Pittsburgh beat writer say, If they're going to give up Cruz, then they want a top prospect ready to play. It's like, that's not happening. That's not... It's almost hilarious to act as if or pretend as if the Pirates aren't just a farm team for Major League Baseball.
Well, they've always been that.
That's what they are.
Since 1992.
So, like, this... If I'm giving up something for Cruz, I'm giving up something that doesn't affect me. I'm giving up Cabrera or Tate or... Well, I'm giving up one of those guys.
Well,
maybe Abel.
Here's an example.
I'm not giving up Crawford, Painter, or Miller. It's not
what
happening.
What if you go in, you give up Abel, and you give up a guy like Marsh and Stott. Marsh, Stott, and Abel is going to get you O'Neill
Cruz.
That's a lot.
That's too much for a guy batting 219.
You can't look at the batting average, Tech.
He's not
you have
doing
to look at what
RBIs.
A guy is going to be.
Look how many RBIs he's got, 20-some RBIs.
I look at it differently. I look at what a guy, when he's put on a winner with those types of tools and that type of talent.
It's a what if. It's a what if.
Well, you're same with your guys you want to bring up. They could come up and not be
but
hitters.
I'm looking at a guy who's at every level that he's ever played in has hit over 300 in in Crawford.
You would
he's
hope
a phenom.
So did Jackson Holliday. He came up and he hit 099.
Yeah,
I mean,
this isn't. He's not Jackson Holliday, okay? He's not going to be that guy.
Sure,
you'll see.
Maybe you're right.
Crawford's going to be a good
player. I'm not
player.
Saying a trade Crawford.
I don't know that Miller's going to.
You're the one
I don't
saying
know that
trade
Miller,
Crawford. Don't
I
trade,
do
I'm
not,
saying a trade Crawford.
I don't know that Miller's going to be a great player. I'm just not willing to trade him for Cruz. I know.
Well, no, I agree with you. I'm saying
I don't know
I
that Painter. By the way, I don't know that Painter's going to be any good.
No, I don't. He hasn't really recovered from what
he has not. You're right. And so I might be willing to part with Painter, not for Cruz.
If you can get a Class A, though, I'm putting one of them guys in. Give me class
you're right.
A.
Painter and Abel all of a sudden become attractive to me if I can get,
you get look,
a
that's
star
all, that's
closer.
That's all you really need, and you can win a World Series. If you had a star closer, this team can win a World Series. This season, we look at this season,
and I also
all of these teams are flawed. They're all flawed. The Cubs are young, and they go through streaks. The Dodgers, yeah, they're a great team, and they have all these names, but they've gone through some horrible streaks, worse than the Phillies this year. All these teams that are great, and all these are better than the Phillies are 500 teams. Sure, okay, since June 1st, but a lot of these other teams, they're not any much better than we are. If you add a real closer,
the Brewers are.
It's all relative. It's temporary. It's temporary. It's Milwaukee. They haven't won anything since 1982,
they're
and they didn't
good.
Even win then.
I hear you. But
yeah,
they're
but they
good.
Don't. But they're. It's temporary. It's not going to translate in a postseason because it
maybe
never
not.
Does.
Maybe
it
not.
Never does. My point is, if you add a
they
real
had our
closer
this year,
you can beat anybody in the big leagues in a 7-game series with this pitching staff. Even if you score 3 runs,
we just
a game.
Haven't gotten lucky with a closer in basically since 08. We haven't gotten lucky
well,
with a closer.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, Papelbon in the bad years, I mean, got a ton of saves when it really didn't matter, when this team wasn't good. But, I mean, listen, I'll take a closer, okay? But I'll say it again. My, you know, big moves in my mind would be go get one good reliever, whether that's a closer or whatever, and get a solid bullpen arm that's better than, you know, a Seth Johnson. Give me somebody you can put in a game that's not Seth Johnson, okay? Or even Joe Ross, who I don't think is going anywhere.
Oh, they got
the
Robertson
way.
For that.
Yeah, or, well,
so
Robertson's another
use,
guy.
So they don't
got to
use Johnson.
I don't know. I don't know about Robertson either. But
nah, me neither, man.
But
neither.
You know, give me a closer. Give me a solid.
I think the book is closed on David Robertson
yeah.
in terms of being like an effective game changer.
Me too. I think a decent or a really good closer would be excellent. A solid bullpen arm
no,
that might be better than some of the trash
and
we
you
got.
You can win the World Series this year. That's
and,
the truth.
And bringing up Crawford to replace Kepler.
Look, if you
would
bring
do
up
it
if you
me.
Bring up Crawford and you get a star closer, then you can win the World Series this year. So in 6 days, we'll know.
We'll know. Yeah.
And that's why you got to kind of reserve judgment because if they do get a guy like a Class A or a Bednar, these are star closers, man.
No, I'll give you that. If they get a Bednar or a Class A, I
they
would
can
be,
win the World Series
I would
this
be
year.
Excited, and I will be. I'll be the most excited when they bring up Crawford and get rid of.
And then
because
you can bump a Lizardo to the pen, and that's huge because out to pen a guy throwing 100 in the seventh,
right.
That's solid. And then you still do have Kirkering and Strom, and then you'll have the new star closer, and you have the best rotation, arguably outside of 2011 that this franchise has ever had. You know, you got to have guys like Bryce and Schwarber who are good at Turner. They're going to come up in big spots for you in the postseason. They would have to, but you're set up. You're
those
set
three,
up at that point.
They're carrying this offense right now. So, yeah, I mean, has to be
good,
on them.
It's good to see Bryce come
it
around.
Has to
he's
be
been
on
fire.
Oh, yeah. Now he's back. He needed the week off.
Yeah, yeah.
He came
sure.
back and, like, everybody, sure. and Schwarber. Schwarber left, came back from Home Run Derby and immediately hit a home run.
That was phenomenal, right?
He was like right. He was still there at Home Run
Derby.
How
about Schwarber in a Home Run Derby hit off?
I just
Derby off.
I don't think they're going to pay Schwarber.
All Star Game Derby off.
Right. I hate that, by the way. But it is what it
it's
is.
It's All Star Game, you know.
But Schwarber, if I'm Schwarber. Because he's already talking about, I'd love to play for my hometown Reds.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
So
they're a team on the rise too.
With Schwarber, the way I feel about Schwarber is if they get to the World Series or maybe even the NLCS, but if they get to the World Series, and I'm Schwarber, I'm looking at the Phillies like, give me your best deal and
yeah,
let's go.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to want 4 years, though, because when you look at it, his age,
yeah,
and the fact that Turner and Harper are a similar age and they have like 6 more years,
right,
7 more years, why don't I get 4 more?
And if they don't get to the NLCS, if it's a repeat of last year, I'm out of here. If I'm Schwarber, yeah, I'm out of here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, because that would mean that they didn't make a move.
Yeah, I can go get a monster payday and not win somewhere else.
Well, no, the Reds are a team on the rise.
Well, yeah, maybe.
The Reds next season could be a playoff team.
Playoff, yeah.
They have some pieces.
I don't know that they're a World Series window kind of team.
No, but that Nick Lodolo's a pitcher. Talk about a pitcher that has been impressive is Nick Lodolo. Complete game the other night.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm not here to talk about the Reds.
No, but I hear you.
Point being, that's not as unattractive as you would think for a guy like Schwarber.
Right. So I look
plus
at
the
it
hometown
like,
discount.
I don't think I don't think Schwarber will be back next year. And
they have to, if they want to contend, they have to have him in the lineup.
I agree with you.
You have to. His bat is too intimidating. He's too intimidating. He's too clutch to not be in that lineup. This team really, this year,
me,
they have to win the World Series this year. This is it.
Yeah, for this core.
For me,
I would re-sign Schwarber. I'd say goodbye to Ranger and JT. That's what I would do.
JT, though, hitting .410
I know,
in July.
But, it's...
Let's see how he finishes
out. It's what he does.
Yeah, see how he finishes out.
So I would say goodbye to Ranger and JT, and I'd re-sign
Schwarber.
Well,
Ranger you're going to have to say goodbye to because the market for a lefty starter like that is he's going to get a big number.
And he should.
I think he's going to end up with the Yankees.
Probably.
I think that's a place.
I think Ranger...
I could see Suarez
and he's
going to
be... He's going to turn into a big star there.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
What happens.
Well, he's already a star.
I know, but, you know, when you're the Yankees...
He's a good fit for that organization.
Yeah, I love Ranger. For a minute there, it was like they got to re-sign Ranger and say goodbye. But now I'm like, nah, you got to re-sign Schwarber.
Yeah,
and
yo,
say
you
goodbye
have to.
To
you,
Ranger
you can't
and JT.
Not bring back Schwarber. Next year, you could presumably have Crawford out there, Schwarber if you re-sign him. Pretty much the rest of your core is here.
Yeah, I would try to move Castellanos in the winter.
Probably have to.
I definitely
he might
would.
Be a piece if they can get a star closer. I'll tell you what. Casty might be on the go.
The only thing that stops me from
well, he's a
thinking
right-handed
that, that's
bat,
it.
Though. Yeah, we talked about that.
He's
we
one of the like
that.
Few righties in the lineup. Like
I know. You like, can't do that.
But yeah, I agree with you. He's a guy I would move.
A star closer is the only way that they can win a World Series this year.
Think about Castellanos. He's a momentum killer in a big moment.
Well, he's left the second most guys on base in the entire league.
I'm ready for him to go. He's a momentum killer. He's an inning killer.
He's not having
he's
a bad
momentum
year, though.
Killer.
He's not
no,
having
he's
a
not.
He's hitting .275.
That's the dichotomy of Nick Castellanos.
Well, it's because of where he hits in a lineup. He's always coming up with guys on base. So he's left the most on base besides one guy.
And that's something they got to fix next year, too. You got to fix who's hitting behind Bryce. Because you're not serious
no,
there.
And Bohm, I mean, it's a shame the kid cracked a rib. He'll be back for the postseason, though.
I actually cracked like the fact that Kemp gets to play every day. I hate to say it. I like Bohm too. But,
I like Kemp a lot.
But I like Kemp. It seems like Kemp's always getting hit with the baseball. I never seen anything like it. He's a magnet for the baseball.
Crazy.
But I like the kid. I think he can play. We'll see what happens next week when we're here. We'll know more.
We sure will.
So that's what matters the most.
It's exciting.
All right. So Prem's picks. Were we off last week?
Yeah, but I got the picks.
We were off last
week
for
before.
for the All-Star break.
Yep.
So we do have the picks. Let's hit Prem's picks.
It's time for Prem's picks.
These games are a blowout, a human lock. You can bet your children's unborn children on these games.
Prem's MLB picks. All right, so we were off last week. Where were we heading into this week?
Well, heading into this week, I stand at 19-11. I went 2-for-3 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
The Dodgers beat the Giants in San Francisco.
That's
the
right.
The A's beat the Blue Jays
they
in
did.
Cali.
They did. I saw that on the yes.
Kind
saw
of a, you know, I like these anomaly pitches.
Yeah, that was a complete...
But the Phils did drop that game against the Padres in San Diego.
Yep.
So I stand at 19-11 and as we enter here, episode 170, Tech.
170.
And here are this week's locks.
Locks.
Got some good ones for you. They all involve good baseball teams. The Dodgers, we talked at length about some of the National League competition. The Dodgers go to Fenway, and I like the Red Sox to get the win at Fenway tonight.
Wow.
Yeah, I think they're just going to be a little bit more on fire. They got Brian Bello on the mound. He only has a 3.23 ERA, 74 Ks in 97 innings, a 6-4 record. And, you know, the Dodgers are trotting out this kid, Emmett Sheehan, 4.41, 16 strikeouts in 16 innings, 1-1, 4 games started. Okay, young kid. In Fenway against a pretty good lineup, we know. I think that the Red Sox are going to get some runs early and capitalize on his youth, and then it'll be enough and they'll hold on. And the Dodgers, really, they've been kind of up and down a lot like
they
the Bills.
Yeah.
Give me the Red Sox at home at Fenway after being on the road tonight. Lock. Another road winner for you, Tech. And a couple teams that are locked into a NL wild card race. The Padres go to St. Louis to play the Cardinals. Now, on the surface, a lot of people might pick the Cardinals. They're at home. They're a 52-win team. But the Padres trotting out Nick Pivetta and his 10-2 record with his 2.81 ERA. I mean, wow, Pivetta, what a renaissance for him.
Yeah.
He is now what we wanted him to be when he was with the Phils, but he was a little too young then. But then you got a guy I always like to pick against, Miles Mikolas on the mound for the Cardinals with his 5-7 record,
yes.
His 5.2 ERA, 69 strikeouts in 97 innings, and his 1.30 whip. I think the Padres go out there and just jump all over him, and Pivetta continues to do what he does. I like the Padres to win this one like 6 or 7-2, something like that.
Give me
the Padres going cross-country, halfway across the country, on the road, in the Lou, against the Cardinals. Lock. Last pick is another good one. Two teams that we don't really like too much because of where they are. You got the Rangers hosting the Braves in Texas. Now, you know, the Rangers are an interesting club. They're 53-50, 2 years removed from a World Series title. Trying out Nathan Eovaldi on the mound, and he's having quite a year. 7-3 with a 1.58 ERA, 94 strikeouts in 91 innings.
One of the better pitchers in baseball.
Really is. 35 years old, but still has his best stuff. And going against the, you know, Braves lineup that has been well below average this year for their expectations. 44-57, ho-hum, nothing special. And they're trotting out Joey Wentz onto the mound with his 5.71 in Texas. My only home winner on the week. I got the Rangers over the Braves at Arlington. Lock. So to recap, Tech, we got the Red Sox hosting the first-place Dodgers at Fenway and getting the win.
Lock.
The Padres flying into St. Louis on City Connect night, where the Cardinals will have their The Lou uniforms on, but it won't matter as the Padres will get the win in St. Louis.
Lock.
And the Rangers will hold court at home in Texas and beat the struggling Atlanta Braves.
Lock.
This has been the episode 170 edition of Prem's MLB Picks.
We're there, 170 already.
Good stuff, brother.
So next week we'll know about the Phils, the deadline. We'll know more about Eagles camp. And yeah, we'll see you next week.
Vet Alumni.